Brethren, think about all the things that God provides for us. You know, we become accustomed to these items, but items like the armor of God that we can put on each day that he invites us to wear, we don't always do that. Or another item like the Bible that's in our homes, it's readily available, and that we have the opportunity to look at it, to read it, to be inspired by it. But we have to ask ourselves, if we don't use those items, what good are they? What good are the blessings that God gives us if we kind of let them lay there and we don't really take advantage of them? Let's look at an example of this for a physical gift. For you men, I'll reach out to you for a minute. Let's say you have a favorite tool in mind, something you really enjoy that you've seen, you've wanted, and somebody gives that to you as a gift. You take it, you unbox it, you put it on the shelf, and then you don't use it. Oh, it looks nice there, and you're really glad you have it, but what good is it if you never use it? For you women, let's say your husband in the past gave you a beautiful necklace, ruby, emerald, diamond, or a bracelet, something you value, something you enjoy, but if you never put it on and wear it, in a sense, what good is it? You know, if you just store it away, it's back in the closet, it's in the jewelry chest, and your husband might ask, why don't you wear that? It's like, oh, maybe I'm afraid of losing it, or whatever reason, but if we don't put it on, if we don't wear it, whatever the item might be, it doesn't serve as great a purpose as it was meant to. So if we tie that back to us as Christians, have you thought about the spiritual gifts that God gives to members of his church? Something special that God wants to grant his children and that we have available to us. And if I was to ask you, what gift do you have? Or we could say, what gifts? Because we may have more than one. Do you know what they are? Would you be able to write a few down right now? And if not, how do you properly share that gift? How do we develop our gifts? How do we grow that gift if we don't really know what it is? A vital part of our calling is to not only appreciate the gifts that God has offered us, but to use them. So today, my title is Sharing Our Spiritual Gifts. It's really something for us to think about. And let's look at what the Bible says regarding the gifts that God shares with us, because there's some foundational principles that were given in the instruction book that we have. And it's a privilege to receive spiritual gifts, but we must realize there's a great responsibility in what we do with them. We can't just let them lie on the shelf. We have to put them to work. And the Bible reveals the main purpose of why God provides each of us with gifts. Do we know the reasons for that? Let's look at a few of those today from the Bible. Point number one, spiritual gifts are given to benefit the church. They're given to benefit those around us, the body of Christ. And we know that God is not a respecter of people, but our gifts are mainly directed towards our fellow members. And there's a reason for that. God has purposed it that way. And so these gifts are a privilege to have. They're an honor from God that he wants us to enjoy and to use properly. Let me just mention, there is a difference between God's Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts he gives us. Now, they are both gifts, and they are both from God. So in that sense, they are connected there. But as a spiritual gift, maybe look at it as an aptitude. It's the ability to do something. God wants us to use these and to do something actively. Whereas the fruit of the Spirit is more like an attitude, it's how we do it. It's the way in which we do it. And so we share our gift in that way. So for example, if serving is our spiritual gift, then if we combine that with the fruit of God's Spirit, it determines whether we serve with the love, the joy, the peace that God gives us through his Spirit. And so both the fruit of the Spirit and our spiritual gifts should join together, just like the Spirit in man and God's Holy Spirit. Those two items were meant to join together. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. Brethren, we're asked to bear fruit, and God gives us two elements that we shouldn't separate. You know, if any of you are familiar with epoxy, and you think about, you know, how you use that, but it usually comes with two compounds, and when you get it, you mix it together, and it becomes this, these two elements become this bond. I remember a man installing my granite countertops. He used epoxy to cement the backsplash to the counter. And so once he said it was formed, it was stronger than the stone itself. And so just like epoxy are two elements that are bound together, God wants us to bind, use his Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts. They work together. That's how he wants us to use them. Notice what it says here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Paul reminds us, he says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. That tells us a lot, doesn't it? So let's analyze that a minute. We're told here to be zealous. So have we thought about this? Have we prayed about the inspiration that God wants us to have in sharing these gifts that he's given to us? We're also told, let it be for the edification of the church. So the word edify, it means to build up. It means to improve. It means to lift up. That's what God is asking us to do, to lift up one another. And so what we're lifting up is the other members. It's the body of Christ that he's asking us to improve here. Now, we're not excluding helping our neighbors, our friends, our family, our community. No, there's ways that we're to be a light to them and be an example, but God says, I'm giving you these added spiritual gifts to grow my church, to lift it up. So we need to think about that. That's God's goal. And here we're told to seek to excel it in this area. So we've all fallen short, haven't we, in using what God has given us. This is not about pointing fingers at others, like, oh, you did this and you're not using your gift and you haven't figured out what your gift is. No, this is about how do I do better in sharing my gift from God with those around me to basically edify the church. So we're reminded of a few other important facts about gifts. Let's go back to chapter 12 here in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. We'll just read a few verses here. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So, brethren, when we think about that, the word diversity simply means differences or a variety. God doesn't give us all the same gift. He spreads it out, works it out, so that we each have things that can work together. And when we read here, he says different ministries, that's talking about different ways to serve. We need to think about that. God is all about serving. We know that Jesus Christ came to serve us. So we need to think about these words. The word activities can be our works. And so God is saying these are varied, these are different, and we need to work with what he gives us. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So this isn't about us being, I should say it this way, maybe this isn't about us looking better. This is about us looking to Jesus Christ who wants the church to run smoothly. Our focus shouldn't be on ourselves, but how we help others. And so we can compare that maybe to a car engine. If we're all working together, just like the parts in an engine, and your engine as you go up the hill is sputtering, it's not really, you give it some gas and it's not going forward like you want to, or if you want to pass somebody and you go, wow, I haven't even got the power here to do it. You want your engine running finely tuned. That's how God wants his church. That's what he wants us as members to all work together so that in a sense when he gives us a spirit or when we put the gas on that we really move forward, we really grow. Now, it uses the word manifestation here in verse 7. And that word means bestowment. God is willing to bestow or to give to us these gifts. He wants to share them with us. And he does it with each one, as it says. So do we recognize that? Do we take that to heart? Because these gifts are available to every one of us. And at times, we don't really reflect on that. Notice it said each one of these gifts are given for the profit of all. That word profit, meaning the advantage or the good of all. So do we use what God has given us in that way so that it's benefiting every single person? Now, if we drop back to verse 1 here in chapter 12, let's read what Paul says a little more about gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. This word ignorant here can be interpreted as misinformed. Like we're not really up to pace here on what we should be knowing about spiritual gifts, and Paul's reminding us that. So he speaks about that. So these gifts are not to serve our own purpose, but to help others. They're to grow the body of Christ, to develop it as God desires. Let's go next to Ephesians 4, as we hit on a few scriptures that God has given us to better understand our gifts. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. We'll be skipping back and forth between Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 because they both are written by Paul, and he mentions spiritual gifts there, but you think about how amazing those gifts are. Something from Almighty God as a divine being that gives you this ability to do something that we wouldn't be able to do as well without his help. And we know that God is not limited. So when he offers this, if there's any limit there, it's us limiting that, not using it properly. And take, for example, Samson. You know, us men might read that and say, wow, I wish I had a little bit of that power to do some of the things he did. But that was a gift from God that he gave. Or the wisdom of Solomon. You know, we might all say, wow, I wish I had more wisdom like that. But that was a gift from God. So we have to use these gifts properly. Have we looked for ways to benefit the members with our gifts, to be better informed, as Paul says here? Ephesians 4, verse 7. It says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Brethren, when you think about these things, I mean, we really need to contemplate so many topics in the Bible more than we do, and to consider how we're doing. If we drop down to verse 11, here in the same chapter, and he, Christ, gave himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Notice why. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So one reason here that God gives gifts is to prepare us for service. We're not only going to serve in this life, but in the future, during the millennium, in the family of God, we will serve forevermore. And a second reason here is God bestows gifts is to build up the body. So he wants us to recognize, are we doing that? Are we improving in that? Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a perfect individual is what he's saying, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So we know Jesus Christ, from other scriptures, is placed as the head of the church. We're to look to him. We're to follow his example. And notice verse 16. It summarizes a lot of these thoughts here. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So just like our physical bodies have all these muscles and joints, it's, you know, arms, legs, head, etc., we want it all to function properly, don't we? Well, in the same way, Christ is comparing this to the spiritual body, the church of God. And he says that it's all knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Now, if we stop there just a second, you are those parts of the church. And we have to ask, are we doing our share? Because notice what happens if we do that. By which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This is God's end goal here, for the church to grow, for his body to be healthy and active and vibrant as a spiritual body on this earth, preparing for the kingdom of God. And God is inviting us to get ready to do that. And so in what way do we edify the church, to edify this congregation? How have we done in this last year to improve and to think about this topic? Because our gifts are to be shared using the fruit of the Spirit. How we do that? You know, we show it, love. We express that self-control. All those elements of God's Spirit, we express them as we use our gifts. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, I'll just refer to it. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all faith to move mountains. So he mentions some really amazing things here. But notice what he says next. If I don't have love, I am nothing. So love, one of the first fruits of God's Spirit, plus all the others, is what we do in sharing our gifts. We use those qualities that God gives us. And think about the amazing work that God is willing to do through us. It really comes down to, are we willing to allow God to do that? Are we allowing him to work in us? So the first point here that I mentioned is spiritual gifts are given to benefit the church. And we have to keep that in mind as we grow in this area. Let's look at a second point. Identify your spiritual gifts. God asks us to recognize what he's given us. To think about, do you know what he's granted you? Because once again, we have to consider the ways that we can build up the brethren. And if we don't even know what our gifts are, then how do we properly serve one another? How do we use the fruits of the Spirit to share those gifts? We're told to make our calling and election sure, and part of that is to discover what we can do to better serve the congregation. As we're invited by God, given his Holy Spirit, and the opportunities to be in this church, maybe for some of you decades, that we need to be developing these qualities. And we can ask ourselves, how can we adequately use something if we don't really know we have it? That's why we need to identify it. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 1. We'll just look at the aspect of who Peter is talking to here and to realize that includes all of us. Brethren, also think about how when we talk with one another, I rarely hear anybody saying, oh, I think I have this spiritual gift, and I think I can use it more in this way. I don't hear that very often. And many might say, if they do talk about it, I'm not even sure what gift I have. And so God invites us to know what gifts we have and to appreciate them and to show by using them. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and notice who it's written to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So I'll just stop there because this gives us a sense of who Peter is writing to. That he's writing to some of the 10 tribes that have been dispersed, but also he says the elect here. So whether it's back then, at that time, or today, he's writing to us. He's wanting us to understand certain principles that he's laid out in this book. And so let's go forward to chapter 4 here to see one of the items that Peter is writing about that God inspired him to share with us. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. It says here, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So this verse informs us of several things. First of all, each of us have been given one or more gifts. Have we thought about that? That, you know, do I know at least one of my gifts? Do I have several that I can develop, that I can use, that I can improve in? And so this applies to men, women, and children. You know, God gives his Spirit to our children. It's not in them yet at baptism, but it's with them until that time. And so we all have the opportunity to develop these. And have we made the effort to discern whether we're sharing our gifts? That's what we need to consider. Now let's look at a few words here that are mentioned in verse 10. From Strong's Dictionary, the word gift is the word charisma, meaning a divine gratuity, specifically a spiritual endowment. Brethren, think about it. God has offered each one of us a free gift. A spiritual element, something we can't see, but that is in us and that we can use. And if you look back at miracles in the past, think about the Israelites as they were wandering and the manna. What an amazing gift that was. For God to rain down food for 40 years for the Israelites. Think about the water that he poured out from a rock to feed the Israelites and their animals. And so we can say those are amazing miracles. And yet our calling and the gifts that God bestows on us are also just as amazing, that he wants us to recognize that. And at times we don't think of it in that way. Now the word minister here in verse 10 of 1 Peter 4 that we just read, it's the word diakono, and it means to be an attendant. That is, to wait upon a host or a friend, technically to act as a Christian deacon or to minister unto. It simply means to serve. When he says to minister unto, he's saying serve those people that it's referring to. So let me read verse 10 now again from the International Standard Version. It words it this way: as good servant managers of God's grace in its various forms, serve one another with the gift each of you has received. So we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing in sharing what God has so graciously given to us? That's what he would want us to ask of ourselves. Have we identified that? Looking at verse 7, we'll drop back to verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multiple of sins. I should say a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So here it's giving us a little backdrop as it comes down to verse 10, which we already read, about using these gifts. He's showing us the way in which we do that. How well do we manage our gifts? Let's say we found some buried treasure, a huge stash of these treasure chests, but we never looked inside because our goal was to share them with others. We ran out to tell someone, hey, I found treasure. I want to share it with you. You go, well, what are you going to give me? And go, I don't know. I haven't identified it yet. Well, how much are you going to give me? I don't know. I don't know how much is there. See, we would want to gather the facts before we use that. And in the same way, God is saying, make sure you know your gift before you try to use it. And so that parallels what God is asking us, to identify it so we can properly serve, so we can properly help. Verse 11, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. For some of us, it's difficult to perceive what gift we have. You know, we say, well, I can't tell, but God expects us to think about it, to try different things. And as God's children, we have the opportunity to go to him and to ask for help, to find out in what ways we can serve and glorify him better. Let me just refer to Matthew 7, verse 9. And this is regarding that God wants his children to come and petition him for the things we need. It says there in Matthew 7, verse 9, or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So none of us should be afraid to go to God. He welcomes, he invites us to come to before him humbly and to ask for his help. So do we go to our Father and ask him to show us how we can use our gifts, how we can better identify them so that we can benefit his church? Let's look at a third point. Point number 3, God has a specific plan for us. He has a specific plan for each and every one of us, brethren. And we know that God has called us. He calls each individual before they begin to understand his truth. He opens our minds. God is very detailed in what he does. You look at the creation and you start to see that, how he made the animals and the plants. He's very detailed. And so included in those details, have we thought about God inviting us into the church for a specific purpose within this body, within this congregation? That we have been called for a reason to work together, to share our gifts. And so the scriptures reveal that it's not an accident that we're here, nor the gifts that we've been given. That's not an accident that God would give these people over here certain gifts and these different gifts. He's not going to give us all the same gifts. Otherwise, like, we can't all be arms. We can't all be legs. God says, I want you to work together as a body under Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. As Paul offers us a little more here regarding spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. And regarding how specific God is in helping each one of us to grow, as you're turning there, let me read something that Jeremiah writes. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." This is God speaking to us. He has plans for us. He says, "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So this is what God inspired Jeremiah to write, that God says, I'm working out all kinds of things in your life. So he doesn't randomly just offer us a gift like, oh, I'll just throw one out to you and you. No, he's got a plan. Let's notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." So this ties right in with what Jeremiah uttered, that we are here for a reason, a purpose. He's called us at this time. He gives us various gifts that we can work together and benefit one another. So it's important for us to think about that, because we're getting ready to join the family of God. And he's training us with gifts. How do we know that in the future we won't have developed these gifts and he'll use it even in a spiritual way in the family of God forever and ever to work together? So we need to consider that. It doesn't matter when we're called. It doesn't matter the position we have within the church. No, God decides as he pleases. So let me read verse 18 again. "God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." So think about that. When you ask why you're here and what's your purpose, that we should be looking deeper into how we can be a better part of every congregation. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." So we make up the church. We make up that body. And each one of us is an important part. So we all have the potential to be the children of God, but once again, we don't all have the same spiritual gifts. So if we neglect using that, it's going to affect the whole body, because God gave that to you for a purpose. Some of you are very good listeners. Some of you are very good at encouraging your brethren. Some of you are great at giving, serving, leading. God gives us various gifts. We need to think about that. Verse 20, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." And skipping down to verse 25, let's notice just that he says about this body, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. So he doesn't want any division. He doesn't want any separation among us. Even though we're different individuals from various backgrounds, he brings us together and says, "I want you through my Spirit to work together as one." Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So we can study that. I would recommend on your own to think about these scriptures, because I'm just hitting highlights here. But there's so much to this topic that we can glean from. If you turn next to Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, so we should not only ask God to help us to better identify our gifts, but we need to ask him for the strength to use them and the balance to share them. Because if we don't have the strength, we might still have that gift available to us, but we don't apply it. Or the balance, we might go overboard and be pushy with that gift. You know, God wants us to have balance, not in one ditch or the other. So Romans 12, verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." I think we can recognize that just as we look around in each congregation. Verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." He's saying basically the same thing that he wrote over in 1 Corinthians, that we have to get this idea that even though we are individuals, that we're a part of a greater body of believers all under the head of Jesus Christ, and he's wanting us to function properly. And we have to think about that. So we have a learning process here of how to prepare for the kingdom of God. We do that on an individual basis, but we do it for the collective good of the church of God under our leader, Jesus Christ. So it's important for us to work together, to be members of one another, Why? So we edify God's body, the church. Let's look at a fourth point. Continue to develop your spiritual gifts. Continue to develop. Brethren, it's easy at times to realize how blessed we are, and we might read our Bible here a little bit and pray there and come to church, but are we developing these gifts that God has so graciously given us? Because once again, they're to help others, and they are to bring glory to God. It's a way to glorify our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And so we need to live up to our calling. So we have to think about whether we cause growth in the church. Am I holding the church back, or am I there to serve and give and be a proper part so that we're doing our share? Romans 12 and verse 6. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So once again, we're reminded about these gifts are different. So don't be looking to someone else and say, oh, I wish I had their gift. No, use the gift that God's given you. And then what does it say? Differing gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. I mean, that's a command from God, that he says, my spirit has been poured out on you, my children, for the purpose of edifying my church under Jesus Christ. Use them. So we have to really think, do we do well in that? Are we growing in that? And once again, it says differing. So we don't all have the same talents. We don't have all the same skills and the gifts that God offers. And if we're not sure, we have to test. You know, try this. Try serving. Try helping with sound. Try helping with music. Sometimes you go, no, that's not for me. So we have to try these things. It doesn't even mean we'll do it well, because sometimes we need to grow in it. We might start out mediocre, but improve with God's Spirit, of course. Let me read what Adam Clark's commentary says regarding verse 6. He states, as the goodness of God has endowed us with different gifts and qualifications, let each apply himself to the diligent improvement of his particular office and talent, and modestly keep within the bounds of it, not exalting himself or despising others. Once again, there's that balance that we're talking about. We don't want to go too far. We want to be humble while doing it and do it in a way that edifies, that helps, that lifts up. So we should improve in these gifts that God gives us. We should practice them. And as it mentions here, we should use them. God is basically saying, don't ever stop developing this talent, this gift that I've given you. Because we are in training for the kingdom of God, and he is preparing us for positions that we cannot imagine, really, not to the fullness, that he wants us to be as spirit beings and children of God. And you think about how meticulous God is, how detailed he is. He's working everything out in a beautiful way. So we have to use our gift in a way as if it'll be served in the coming kingdom of God. And so we're given some examples of various gifts here. Let's notice in verse 6, we'll continue with it. After it says, let us use them, and then it mentions if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so all these are listed as just some of the gifts that God provides to us. Now I wanted to comment, Adam Clark in his commentary says that the word prophesy here in the New Testament often means the gift of exhorting or expounding the scriptures. So when we think about prophecy, we go, well, that's foretelling the future. We don't have that gift. But it has a varied meaning here. When you look it up, it can not only mean predicting the future, but also inspired speaking. So we may have the gift of prophecy in that sense. I might say, oh, I don't have that gift, but consider that when we're explaining the doctrine to someone, that's inspired speaking. Someone comes in new and says, can you explain what your church teaches, what this doctrine is, what this is saying? That's inspired teaching. That's a form of prophecy as defined by this word in the Bible. Or when you teach a youth class, a teen class, when you teach your children about God's word, it's a sense of edifying God, inspired speaking to teach them. So hold your place here in Romans 12. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14 just to look at a quick example here. how prophecy can mean more than just foretelling the future, 1 Corinthians 14. And to realize that it can include inspired teaching from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, we're reminded to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. There it is again. But especially that you may prophesy. So you go, oh, you might first think, oh, I need to foretell the future, but how do I do that? But it can mean more than that as we're talking. Let's go down to verse 3. But he who prophesies, notice what they do. They speak edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So this is not the type of prophesying that would be foretelling the future, but it's giving us clues as of another explanation of this word prophesy, of how to do it. And so let's look at each one of these words that are mentioned here quickly. First of all, the word edify. You know, told that our prophesying should edify. So notice what that word means. It's to instruct or to improve someone morally or intellectually. In other words, it's to lift someone up through the scriptures. And so when we share a point from the Bible, it can refer to speaking under inspiration. Another word mentioned, exhort. It means to strongly encourage or urge someone to do something. So the Sabbath message could be a form of that, but also it could include the parents at home teaching their children a story about the Bible, no matter what age, sharing that. It would be, according to the description here, the definition, it'd be a form of prophesying. It's inspired speaking. And the third word mentioned here in this verse is comfort, which means to ease or alleviate the grief or distress of someone. And you think about how much stress there is, even within the church. We all go through trials. And so synonyms for that word is to console someone, to have sympathy, support, reassurance, or even to cheer them up. That's what God is asking us to do. So as we console a member who lost a loved one and give them reassurance of the coming resurrection, you know, it's an aspect of inspired speaking. So I just wanted to throw that in there so when we think about these different gifts that they might apply to us more than we think. Let me read verse 3 again from another translation. God's Word translation says, but when a person speaks what God has revealed, he speaks to people to help them grow, to encourage them, and to comfort them. So that's a form of prophesying, to simply do those items. And that's what God is asking us to do. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. Romans 12 and verse 7. Brethren, many times we have the opportunity to share our spiritual gift, but we need to develop that more. God is asking us as children to grow, to use His Spirit to help us to improve in lifting up the brethren. Romans 12, verse 7. So I'll just read here again these couple of verses that I read earlier, because these are things that we can think about as examples of types of gifts. One it mentions there in verse 7, ministry. Let us use it in our serving. So some of you have that opportunity to serve brethren. You go visit the widows. You go help somebody here. You take them a meal. We have that opportunity. Another one is teaching. Do we do that? You know, teach our children. As a neighbor asks us, are we ready to give an answer to them? That's a form of teaching. Another one here in verse 8, those who exhort. And that's, you know, as we already defined, it's a way to help people, to encourage them. And then those who give. A lot of you, I've heard stories about how you give here. You give of your time. You give of your money. You give of your words and advice to help people. So there's all sorts of things that works here. But when you give, it says, do it with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So these are just some aspects of the gifts that God gives us to help us to edify His church. And there's so much more that could be said about each of these, but we should throughout the year be thinking about the various gifts that God shares with us. He's given us His Holy Spirit, access to that, and He wants us to apply that and use His gifts in that way. So we ask ourselves, when God asks us to do something, do we realize that He'll give us the spiritual gift to be able to fulfill that well? Now think of an example real quick, going back, thinking about Moses. Remember when God asked him at the burning bush to go lead his children out of Egypt, to give them freedom. And what was Moses' response? He started making excuses. He goes, "Oh, I'm slow of speech. Oh, my tongue is slow." And what does God say back to him? He says, "Who made man's mouth?" In other words, I can give you the gift of excellent speech. I can put the words into your mouth. And so that job was given to Aaron. So we have to consider, do we hold back sometimes when God asks us to do something? We have to consider that God would help us through it. And even if we're not good at something, we can still be a gift. There's ways. I mean, giving, we might not know exactly the best way to do it, but as we give, we learn, we do better. We can increase that. And so, yes, even something that isn't highly developed, it can be a gift because God asks us to develop it over time. We use His Spirit to do that. And so there's many service needs in the church, but we know that listening is a great one. Encouraging is always a good one. And you could go through all these, but we don't have to be perfect to start helping in these areas. And after you identify your spiritual gift, make sure you continue to develop it, because it is important to God. He's asking us to think about how we're living our lives, how to develop to join the family of God, because we are preparing to serve the world tomorrow. All those people in the millennium, millions and millions that go through the Great Tribulation and start having children for 1,000 years, we are going to be there as spirit beings to help them. And then during the second resurrection, the billions and billions who have ever lived, they will need training. And we will need to share our spiritual gifts with them. Of course, we will be spirit, and we will have that opportunity and have more strength and wisdom to do it. But God says you need to prepare now so that He can give us that opportunity. So think about the parable of the talents as we close here today. You know how God offers us talents. He's given us each different amounts. He may not give us all 5 talents or 10 talents, but whatever He gives us, we have to use it. And we know that parable where some developed their talents and others buried them. And God is asking us to be careful not to bury what He's given us, but to develop it. He gives those gifts to increase the body, to develop it, to improve it. So the scriptures reveal that spiritual gifts are given to each one of us. So we should be mindful of that and consider whether we know what that is. And to remember then to be thankful for our spiritual gifts. You know, to thank God. So if we haven't even identified it yet, we're not going to be thanking Him for that in the way we should. We have to also continue to ask Him to help us to identify more as we go forward, to improve in that, to look for ways to benefit the body of Christ. And then, as we were told, we need to share that gift with love and with humility. Because without those and other attributes of God, we can take something that God's given us and deliver it in a wrong way. And God is inviting us to learn and come out of the world, do it in the best way possible. And as we share our gifts, we need to remember that it does bring glory to God. That's our purpose in life, really, to glorify God, to do that forever. And right now, as He shares His Holy Spirit with us and those qualities that come with that, and then He shares these gifts with us, that as we do that activity, that work, we take those fruits and combine the two together to better bring Him glory. So think about this topic, because it can be developed so much more. To consider where we stand within the body, do we do our share? Do we help out as we should? And I know there's age to consider. There's health to consider. So we don't want to look down on anyone. We're all in different categories. This is about each one of us taking it personally, saying, how can I bring glory to God? How can I share some gifts that He's given to me to better serve those around me? So we need to show our appreciation to God, not only for the armor that He provides, not only for the Bible that we're given, or for the Holy Spirit or the angelic protection. No, we need to do it for the spiritual gifts, the wonderful gifts that God has shared with each one of us. So let's be thankful for that and look for ways to grow in giving honor to God as we use our spiritual gifts.